Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, 8:14. A lot different than last week. Man, we're happy for that. Dr. Brent Wallace joins us now, Chief Medical Officer, People's Health. How you doing, Dr. B?
Hey, Tommy, I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm okay. How'd you fare with Francine, okay?
We did okay. Yeah, the yard was a bit of a mess, but we got it all cleaned up.
Yep, right there with you. September, Healthy Aging Month. Americans today living longer, healthier lives than ever before. Dr. B is here with People's Health to share 7 tips for keeping your mind and your body healthy with age. And I guess, Doc, first we got to talk about what is healthy aging?
Yeah, it's a really important topic because, as you know, we all get there eventually. We're all aging every day, and really healthy aging just means that you're thinking about and you're taking care of your physical, your mental, and your brain health. And that way you can really find a way as you get older to stay independent and really enjoy a high quality of life as you get older.
It's kind of like everybody's concerned about their 401k, but it's like the same thing with your health. Okay, you save it all, but what are you going to do with it when you finally get it, right? Don't you have these extra 10, 15, 20 years, whatever?
Yeah, definitely. You got to be thinking about this because, like I said, you're all going to get there eventually. You want to make sure you get there in a good condition.
How do you talk to your doctor about healthy aging?
Well, your doctor is critically important, and that is who you should be talking to about this in a lot of instances. They're really one of your most important assets when it comes to healthy aging. So you want to make sure that you find and really build a trusting relationship with your doctors, and that includes primary care physicians, but also your dentist, your eye doctor, and if you're a woman, a gynecologist often, and men often a urologist as well. But it's really important in particular, and I'm not just saying this because I am one, but to get to know your primary care provider.
Well, why is that so important, Doc, about the primary care provider?
So your primary care provider, I say this all the time, they're kind of the captain of the ship, and they really check your overall health, and they help you stay up to date on things like preventative care. They make sure you're getting your vaccines and your screenings. A lot of those services that you need over time to really prevent health conditions from developing or to catch them early on so that you can develop a treatment plan and really make sure you've got a plan to go forward. And your primary care provider should also be working with you on those healthy lifestyle choices that you need to make because that's going to be super key to aging well.
All right, let's get to your tips for healthy aging. What's tip number one?
Yeah, so this is really important. You've got to keep your mind active. It's like we always say, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. So when you don't learn new things for long stretches of time, your brain actually slows down. So you've got to really continually engage your brain with new and challenging activities. And you can do a lot of different things. You can read, you can paint, puzzles. A lot of people do Sudoku and games like that. Even learning a new language. The key is really to choose a variety of activities and to do them frequently because, you know, sitting on the couch and watching TV does not really stimulate your mind. It's got to be that learning activity that you find something you really enjoy to do.
Keep your mind active. What about tip number two?
Yeah, so we say this all the time for a lot of reasons, but exercising regularly is really key to aging well. And exercising can increase your energy levels, but it also can keep your bones and joints strong. It can keep your heart strong, which is really critical as you get older. And it can actually lower your risk of a lot of chronic medical problems, things like diabetes and stroke and heart disease that a lot of people start to develop as they get older. So you want to talk to your doctor about the activities that are best for you and work towards exercising. We always say about 150 minutes a week, 30 minutes, five times a day, but don't overdo it. As you get older, you have to know your limitations. So talk to your doctor about what's the best exercise plan for you.
And you got to be goal focused. You're not trying to train for the Olympics. You're just trying to keep yourself active and healthy.
Exactly, exactly. Don't overdo it.
Speaking of health, I guess you got to eat healthy foods as well.
Yeah, this is absolutely critical, you know, to all disease states, but really as you're aging, it becomes very important that you have a really balanced diet, because that's the fuel that your brain needs, it, you know, to learn, to stay active, to stay healthy. And it can, you know, good healthy eating habits can also lower the risk for those chronic health conditions, things like diabetes and heart disease. And so what we really recommend is we recommend a varied diet. You want to make sure you've got plenty of whole grain foods, fruits and vegetables, low-fat dairy products are important, and then lean meats or plant-based proteins are very important.
And sugar, stay away from it as much as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. We say this too, limit your salt, limit your sugar, and those saturated fats. That's all those desserts, salty snacks, things that people kind of turn to, but you want to look for healthier alternatives.
Fried processed foods, not a good idea. We're talking to Dr. B, Dr. Brent Wallace, about healthy aging. September is Healthy Aging Month. He's got some tips for us. So far, we've been through keep your mind active, exercise regularly, eat healthy foods, and when we come back, we'll pick it up. 820 Traffic Now, WWL.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A24 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Dr. Brent Wallace, Dr. B, Chief Medical Officer of the Five Star People's Health Program. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But we're talking about ways to age healthy, healthy aging, if you will. Dr. B has already told us about keeping your mind active, exercising regularly, eating healthy. What we got next, Doc? Tip number four.
Yeah, so sleep is really important, and people forget about this, but everybody knows what it feels like when you have a bad night of sleep the next day. If you get good sleep, it's really going to help you keep your mind and your body healthy and keep you active.
And I guess your doctor can help you about that? If tell you about how much sleep you need, or how do you know how much is enough?
Yeah. Your sleep need changes throughout your life, and it does decrease as you get older, but we always recommend at least 7 hours of sleep a night for adults. And if you have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, that could be a medical problem. So make sure you talk to your doctor about that. They can probably help.
I get a full 19 hours a day.
That would be wonderful.
Tip number five is a big one. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a huge one. Quit smoking. We cannot say this enough. It just lowers your risk of cancer and lung disease and heart disease. And really, smoking is linked to almost every disease that people experience. So if you are currently smoking, now is the time to stop. You've got to talk to your doctor about it, because we've got a lot of resources that we can use to try to help you quit.
And we can't talk about any of this without mentioning stress, right?
Yeah, stress is really important. You've got to learn how to control the stress. Stress is it's a natural part of life. It keeps us active at times. It does keep our minds racing sometimes. But your bodies are really only designed to handle stress in small doses. If you've got consistent stress without relaxation, that is bad for you. It can increase your blood pressure. It can actually lead to a lot of chronic medical problems and actually make it difficult for you to control any medical problems you have. And again, a great option for managing stress is going to be exercise. So you get a two for one there.
And the other one is loneliness and staying connected, because I think that can lead to stress a lot of times, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, isolation is very dangerous. It can actually accelerate conditions like dementia. It definitely can increase your stress. And so you want to make sure that you actively take time to connect with other people. And this can become difficult as you get older, especially if you've lost, friends and loved ones that you spend a lot of time with. So you want to reach out to your family. You want to try to make new friends and do little things. Join a club, something at your local library, or maybe volunteer, because that's going to keep you active and engaging with others. So that's going to help you, stay mentally sharp as well.
Take a yoga class, take a tai chi class, then you're socializing, you're managing your stress, you're doing a lot of different things at one time, plus you're moving around, you got some exercise combined in there as well.
Yep, perfect activity to do. You knock a couple of them off the list right there.
Let's talk about, Doctor, before we wrap it up, about why people really should look forward to getting older, and especially when you consider the alternative.
Yeah, it should not be considered something bad. All of us get older. It's just a fact of life. And you actually can really feel happier as you age. Your brain changes and continues to develop throughout your life. And that broadened perspective that you develop as you get older can really help you solve problems better, help you deal with life's issues better. It really, if you retire in particular or partially retire, think about all of the extra time that you have to devote to your interest and passions. And so there can be a lot of really positive things come out of aging. So don't look at it as a bad thing. It's actually a normal evolution in life and really something, that a lot of people should be looking forward to.
Final thoughts, Doc?
Yeah, the big thing is it's never too early or too late to make those healthy lifestyle changes. You've got to figure out how you are going to age, and it's really up to you to make sure that you're aging in a healthy way. So make health your priority when you're younger, because you don't want to be in a situation when you get older where you really can't do what you want to do. So that's the most important thing.
I'll tell a story again. I was giving away a car at a casino years ago, and a guy was not that old and a rascal. He looked up at me and he said, "Don't ever lose your legs." And man, that stuck with me. Let's talk about people's health. I mentioned the five-star nature of that, Dr. B.
Yeah. We've been a five-star plan for the past 3 years, which is just a recognition from the government that we really provide excellent health care to all of our members. So we're very proud of that.
And that five-star also changes your options when it comes to enrolling, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It allows you to enroll in plans outside of the open enrollment period. So you've got a lot of options. Give us a call, and we can talk those through with you.
And you can find out all about it. Well, Dr. B, I know you're busy. Thanks for taking the time with us. Have a great weekend, and pet those boxes for me, all right?
Thanks, Tommy. Talk to you soon.
You bet. You can find out more about People's Health by going to peopleshealth.com. You can call them at 1-800-978-9765. You can also visit the People's Health Medicare Center in Metairie. That's at 3017 Vets next to Party City. Appointments are recommended, but walk-ins are welcome. Just remember this, peopleshealth.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about Francine and all the rain that's been falling and heavy storms producing more rain, more intense amounts. Right now it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Chris Miller. 8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Thursday morning. No rain scheduled for today or forecasted for today. And look, again, my heart goes out to everybody. I know people whose houses were flooded, whose cars were flooded. And I'm not trying to minimize this in any way or say that your concern is not valid. The only thing that I want to talk about is it seems as though people seem to be surprised that it's flooding more, but it's flooding more because it's raining more. And the city's still or the area is still below sea level. And I saw a story yesterday that I think Alyssa Curtis did at Channel 4 about a lady in Lakeview that had water piling up, in essence, because the area is sinking. So between that, a fragile pumping system, and increased rainfall, I don't know how we can expect anything but things getting worse. And with that in mind, Paul Miller joins us now, an assistant professor of coastal meteorology at LSU. How you doing, Paul?
Doing well. How about yourself, Tommy?
I'm okay, sir. Am I overstating anything there? And again, I'm in no way minimizing what the people that suffered damage went through. I guess what I'm trying to say is that this is the new normal, and I don't know. We're going to have to look at alternative ways to deal with it, because you can only pump so much, right? I mean, that the thing we hear over and over and again is an inch for the first hour and a half an inch every hour therein. Well, if it's raining more often and more intense when it does rain, I don't know how we can expect anything but flooding. Am I overstating the obvious?
Yeah, well, you know, New Orleans sort of has the cards stacked against it, in a sense, you know, just due to geographical factors. As you mentioned, just sort of the fact that it's a low-lying area, that we have the subsidence of the soils that leads to sort of a sinking landscape. Even if there were no projected changes in precipitation or no observed changes in precipitation, just sort of that pooling of or ponding of water is something that sort of just geographically is going to sort of become an issue more and more leading into the future. And then you sort of compound that then with changes in precipitation. And so you sort of end up with what seems like sort of anecdotally, as well as, you know, we can back this up quantitatively in you know, our research, that sort of events feel like they're happening more and more often, as far as just sort of flooding, like you mentioned, cars and homes, that we're seeing these impacts more frequently than maybe it felt like in the past.
So what are we seeing just when it comes to rainfall that's not related to storms or tropical weather? Maybe I should have put storms in with tropical weather, but tropical weather events, just what we call, what we would normally call traditional rainfall.
Yeah. So this could be your, you know, pop-up summer afternoon thunderstorm, or it could be just what feels like a persistent kind of three-day wet spell in February where it just sort of seems like it's constantly raining for a few days on end. So what we're seeing there, so sort of tropical cyclones aside, we know it's actually very well established, like going back to like the 1800s, that the warmer air gets, that it can hold more water vapor. And so that's sort of some physics that's been around for a really, really long time. It's sort of kind of our bread and butter, in a sense, for when we do our weather modeling and sort of our atmospheric predictions. And so what that means, approximately for every degree warmer that the air gets, it can hold about 7% more water vapor. In a more sort of innocuous setting, this is the reason why your lips get chapped in the winter and not in the summer, right? You know, when it's colder in the winter, the atmosphere can't hold as much water vapor. The air is a little bit drier, and so that you can end up with chapped lips, chapped skin. In the summer, that's not an issue. So the availability of more water vapor as the atmosphere warms means that there's just sort of more ammunition there for a storm to work with. If there's more water vapor, it can convert that into rain more efficiently, and then that rain arrives at the surface and can cause flooding. And so that doesn't have anything to do with tropical cyclones. That's just sort of the physics of rainfall sort of explaining that connection.
So are we seeing more intense rain? When it does rain, is it raining more?
So that's there's a lot of analyses that go and sort of look at the frequency of what, you know, we'll call like heavy rainfall events or extreme weather events. And so that's something that, you know, isn't unique to Louisiana necessarily, that you can have these sorts of studies that have shown that, you know, events like, you know, even you go to, you know, you go to Baltimore and some of the flooding that they've had, or things like, you know, Hurricane Harvey in Texas, that sort of events like that have been exacerbated and have maybe become more intense because of the additional water vapor availability sort of in recent years.
So when it comes to predicting rainfall, when it comes to predicting rain as it relates to an approaching tropical storm, a hurricane, is it getting easier to predict, harder to predict, or do we know that there's going to be more rainfall?
Well, so one of the issues associating, or one of the issues with trying to accurately forecast the amount of rainfall associated with a tropical cyclone is that so much of that is dependent on the track of the storm, and also the speed that the storm is moving. And so this is where sort of it becomes a little bit harder to sort of relate. Sort of
Chris Miller. 8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Thursday morning. No rain scheduled for today or forecasted for today. And look, again, my heart goes out to everybody. I know people whose houses were flooded, whose cars were flooded, and I'm not trying to minimize this in any way or say that your concern is not valid. The only thing that I want to talk about is it seems as though people seem to be surprised that it's flooding more, but it's flooding more because it's raining more and the city's still or the area is still below sea level. And I saw a story yesterday that I think Alyssa Curtis did at Channel 4 about a lady in Lakeview that had water piling up in essence because the area is sinking. So between that, a fragile pumping system and increased rainfall, I don't know how we can expect anything but things getting worse. And with that in mind, Paul Miller joins us now, an assistant professor of coastal meteorology at LSU. How you doing, Paul?
Doing well. How about yourself, Tommy?
I'm okay, sir. Am I overstating anything there? And again, I'm in no way minimizing what the people that suffered damage went through. I guess what I'm trying to say is that this is the new normal, and I don't know. We're going to have to look at alternative ways to deal with it because you can only pump so much, right? I mean, the thing we hear over and over and again is an inch for the first hour and a half an inch every hour therein. Well, if it's raining more often and more intense when it does rain, I don't know how we can expect anything but flooding. Am I overstating the obvious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, New Orleans sort of has the cards stacked against it in a sense, you know, just due to geographical factors. As you mentioned, just sort of the fact that it's a low-lying area, that we have the subsidence of the soils that leads to sort of a sinking landscape. Even if there were no projected changes in precipitation or no observed changes in precipitation, just sort of that pooling of or ponding of water is something that sort of just geographically is going to sort of become an issue more and more leading into the future. And then you sort of compound that then with changes in precipitation. And so you sort of end up with what seems like sort of anecdotally, as well as, you know, we can back this up quantitatively in our research, that sort of events feel like they're happening more and more often as far as just sort of flooding, like you mentioned, cars and homes, that we're seeing these impacts more frequently than maybe it felt like in the past.
So what are we seeing just when it comes to rainfall that's not related to storms or tropical weather?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should have put storms in with tropical weather, but tropical weather events, just what we would normally call traditional rainfall.
Yeah. So this could be your, you know, pop-up summer afternoon thunderstorm, or it could be just what feels like a persistent kind of three-day wet spell in February where it just sort of seems like it's constantly raining for a few days on end. So what we're seeing there, so sort of tropical cyclones aside, we know it's actually very well established, like going back to like the 1800s, that the warmer air gets, that it can hold more water vapor. And so that's sort of some physics that's been around for a really, really long time. It's sort of one of kind of our bread and butter in a sense for when we do our weather modeling and sort of our atmospheric predictions. And so what that means, approximately for every degree warmer that the air gets, it can hold about 7% more water vapor. In a more sort of innocuous setting, this is the reason why your lips get chapped in the winter and not in the summer, right? You know, when it's colder in the winter, the atmosphere can't hold as much water vapor. The air is a little bit drier, and so that you can end up with chapped lips, chapped skin. In the summer, that's not an issue. So the availability of more water vapor as the atmosphere warms means that there's just sort of more ammunition there for a storm to work with. If there's more water vapor, it can convert that into rain more efficiently, and then that rain arrives at the surface and can cause flooding. And so that doesn't have anything to do with tropical cyclones. That's just sort of the physics of rainfall sort of explaining that connection.
So are we seeing more intense rain? When it does rain, is it raining more?
Mm-hmm. So that's there's a lot of analyses that go and sort of look at the frequency of what, you know, we'll call like heavy rainfall events or extreme weather events. And so that's something that, you know, isn't unique to Louisiana necessarily, that you can have these sorts of studies that have shown that, you know, events like, even you go to, you go to Baltimore and some of the flooding that they've had, or things like, Hurricane Harvey in Texas, that sort of events like that have been exacerbated and have maybe become more intense because of the additional water vapor availability in recent years.
So when it comes to predicting rainfall, when it comes to predicting rain as it relates to an approaching tropical storm, a hurricane, is it getting easier to predict, mm-hmm. harder to predict, or do we know that there's going to be more rainfall?
Well, so one of the issues associating, or one of the issues with trying to accurately forecast the amount of rainfall associated with a tropical cyclone is that so much of that is dependent on the track of the storm, and also the speed that the storm is moving. And so this is where sort of it becomes a little bit harder to sort of relate sort of what we know is going on with rainfall in general due to just an increased availability of water vapor, with then trying to, you know, specifically relate that to how much rain will occur and where with a specific tropical system. And so we're pretty good at knowing sort of the types of rainfall totals we can expect from a storm, whether a storm's going to be, you know, like Hurricane Harvey, you know, we knew, you know, nearly a week in advance that was going to be a historic problem for Southeast Texas. But, you know, that's largely because we can tell sort of generally where the tropical cyclone is going and that it was going to stall out somewhere. You know, events like Francine can be a little bit harder because sort of the track of the storm, you know, 20 miles east, 30 miles west, has a big influence on who's going to get that sort of core of 10 inches of rain.
So I remember watching something after Katrina, and I think it might have been when LSU mm-hmm. was playing Tennessee. You remember that game or not?
No,
I think LSU was like 35-7, Tim, right? They were out 35-7 in Baton Rouge, and then Tennessee came back and won. Anyway, but it was right after that, for whatever reason, Doc. Sorry, stream of consciousness mm-hmm. there. And mm-hmm. they were talking about doing core samples and drilling, and for whatever reason, they found out that, and they said the next 20 years after Katrina was going to be an extremely active hurricane season. And it seems like some of the seasons have been so far this year, perhaps not as much. What do we mm-hmm. know? What can you tell us with coastal meteorology as far as hurricanes, tropical storms, rainfall events, et cetera? What do we know has changed, say, since Katrina, or is changing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, you know, Tommy, that's a good point that, you know, that even sort of following that historic 2005 hurricane season, which just was incredible just in the terms of the sheer number of storms, and then additionally the impacts that Louisiana felt from those storms as well, that really the period after that was relatively calm. That, you know, really the next sort of like major hurricane to make landfall on a U.S. coastline was, getting up into the Cat 4, Cat 5 territory was Hurricane Michael, I believe. And so you sort of had this relatively calm period. And, you know, additionally, then, as you've mentioned, sort of our most recent sort of seasonal hurricane forecast, where, you know, before the start of hurricane season, we say, oh, it's going to be an above active year, or it's going to be a more active than normal year. And then it seems to maybe come out closer to normal, or maybe even a little less than normal. That art of sort of the seasonal forecast has become, at least anecdotally, a little bit harder to nail down. some of that can have to do with, you know, that you train sort of those forecasting models over a historical set of conditions that, you know, maybe you start in 1980 and you go to the year 2000 and you use that period to inform sort of how sea surface temperatures might lead to more tropical cyclones or how important El Nino is. But sometimes those relationships can kind of break down the further into the future you go, and that can cause some of these errors in the seasonal forecast that we've kind of been seeing recently.
I presume it is Dr. Miller?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, you worked hard for that PhD. I know we got to go, but look, I enjoyed talking to you. I hope you can come back, spend some more time with us, all right? I'd love to pick your brain.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having
Thank
me.
Thank you. Dr. Paul Miller, Assistant Professor of Coastal Meteorology at LSU. Go Tigers, 856 Traffic, WWL.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.